When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Nowhere else have I seen such lions led by such lambs.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
I mean, Dolphins are a hard, hard 0-2.
Earlier on the show, Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Coming up, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Actor Adam Devine. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of day number two of this week, the day after, week number two in the National Football League. It's a very Sesame Street-like way to open up this second hour of the program, brought to you by the number two. Here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're also thrilled to be streaming every single day now, 12 to 3 Eastern on Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere. We also say hello to those listening on Sirius XM Channel 80. I am loving looking down and seeing all of our phone lines lit. I'm assuming Adam, our call screener, is as well. Be gentle with him. He still thinks Tyson Bagent's around the corner for his Chicago Bears. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Coming up in this hour, we'll also hit on the Chargers win over the Raiders, as well as some injury news going around the National Football League. We've seen a ton of backup quarterbacks all of a sudden in just week number three. And the very funny and talented Adam Devine will be coming here in hour number three to chat about his new commercial with Marshawn Lynch that I think a lot of people are seeing out there.
Love it.
But joining us right now, one of our favorites to tell us what he thinks about the National Football League, three-time Super Bowl champion and NFL on Fox analyst, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Schlereth back on the program. What's up, bud? How are you, sir? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you, Rich? Always good to be with you, buddy.
Right back at you. Your thoughts on the Monday night doubleheader. I'll give you the floor on anything that jumps out at you about last night's two-pack to end week two. Mark?
Baker Mayfield's all balls. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is talk about incredible. And I love the journey. I love the process, right? Going from Cleveland, going to the playoffs, and then going 8-9 the next year, getting dumped, going to Carolina. At one point, I remember showing pictures on a broadcast of Baker Mayfield running scout team defensive end, and then he gets cut from Carolina, signs with the Rams, you know, has that game. I think it's a Christmas Day game against the Broncos where he hangs like 50 on them, which ended Nathaniel Hackett's, you know, head coaching tenure with Denver. And what he's done in Tampa Bay, gambling on himself, like just to watch this journey, to watch the guy grow up, to watch what he did at the end of the game, fourth down and 10, scrambles. You got a free runner at him. He makes a miss and then scrambles for that 10-yard and leads them to a touchdown drive. That dude, like, that is a guy when you're a player in this league that you want to play with. That's a dude you want on your team. That's a dude that everybody hates that plays against you and everybody in your locker room absolutely loves. And I tell you what, I can't say enough good things about Baker Mayfield. Bucky Irvin is unbelievable. What a football player that guy is. But both their starting tackles are down. Like, both starting tackles are out. And they find a way to win that game. My former teammate, Todd Bowles, the head coach, Touche 2-0 for the the fifth or sixth straight year they started the season 2-0. Good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, again, not to compare, and I love Baker, but not to compare him to John Elway. The only reason why I bring him up is you blocked for a guy who was first overall who would play all, as you just pointed out, and put his body on the line and do things like helicoptering and Super Bowls and stuff like that. When Baker does what we've just been talking about, what's it like for an offensive lineman to welcome him back to the huddle? What is that like? How does that put a charge in that huddle, Mark?
Listen, man, I go back to kind of probably the signature play in Broncos history, in Elway's history. You mentioned it, the helicopter. And, you know, that's a third down and six play, and we had 100%. It was 100% the Green Bay Packers were going to play in out of this formation on that position in the field. They would play this particular defense 100% of the time. And John had asked Coach Shanahan, and goes, well, what if they don't? Well, it's 100%. They're going to play it. Well, of course, what happens in the Super Bowl, they don't play it. And so the play we called is no good against the defense we called. So John scrambles to his right, takes off. It's a third down and six, gets hit simultaneously by three Green Bay Packers, you know, does the whirly bird. And we're all running down there to try to hoist him up. But at that point, as you're walking back to the huddle, Rich, there is no freaking way. He's 37 years old. He's sacrificing his body. There is no freaking way the Green Bay Packers are going to beat us today. It's almost like a Herb Brooks thing, right? Not today. Right. You know, if we play them 10 times, they'll beat us 9 times, but not today, boys. And that's what it felt like, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I bet. I bet, man. And the Bucs being 2-0, but the Chargers are 2-0 as well. And you want to talk about a tackle being out, Rashawn Slater, that would normally sink a team, but it's so great to have a fifth overall pick and Joe Alt right there. And he's making it look easy and not against any Pikers either. I mean, against the Chiefs and the Raiders, your assessment of what the Chargers have looked like after 2 weeks, Mark?
I love the philosophy of Jim Harbaugh. When they drafted Alt, he said, hey man, that's an offensive weapon, tip of the spear. And it is so hard to move from the right side to the left side. It is a really difficult thing to do. I know it doesn't sound hard, but it really is hard. And, you make it akin to all of a sudden writing a term paper with your left hand if you're right-handed. It's hard to do. And everything turns backwards. You know, your feet are backwards. Your hand is different. Hand is on the ground. As a matter of fact, you know, in my playing days, there were three guys. When I switched from right guard in Washington to left guard in Denver, I messed a whole year with my stance, trying to feel comfortable coming off the ball. And I tried going left-handed. I tried doing all that stuff. And what convinced me not to is two of the best players in the National Football League at that time, as offensive linemen, both played in the AFC and both played left guard with their hand down and their right hand down. And that was Bruce Matthews and that was Steve Wisniewski. And so I was like, screw it, man. I'm not changing my stance. I'm playing with my right hand down. And that's the way it's going to be, because I couldn't switch over. And then to see Alt just jump over there and have no issues with it, absolutely incredible. And you think about this. They play the Broncos this weekend. So the Chargers, I've never seen this before, Rich, and I'm sure it's happened before in the past, but I don't remember it, and I've never seen it. They start and open up a Friday night with Kansas City. Then they play on a Monday night against the Vegas Raiders. And now they're going to play Sunday against the Broncos. Three divisional opponents in a row. You think about this. If the Chargers are able to beat the Broncos in SoFi, I mean, how big a lock do you have on the division right now in the first 3 weeks of the season? It's incredible.
Yeah, they'd have a game and a half lead on the Broncos, right? Or two and a half game lead on the Broncos. They could make the Broncos 1-2 with one in their pocket against them. The Raiders, they've already beaten. And the Chiefs, they're up currently right now 2.5 games on the 9 times in a row AFC West winners. And they've been looking, I mean, dominant, dominant, yeah, certainly on defense. They've been looking absolutely dominant over the first 8 quarters. And as you pointed out, one more thing, they play on every different day of the week. They play on a Friday, on a Monday, on a Sunday. They play in the Southern Hemisphere. They'll play in the Northern Hemisphere. They'll play in Nevada. They'll play at home. I mean, it's just like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. They don't care where they would have to do it. They're just ready to dominate.
Yeah, you know? I used to have a coach in college say, we'll drive to Salmon, Idaho and play in the parking lot. We don't give a rip. And that's part of the deal. Now, they lost Khalil Mack. I don't know how long he is. I haven't read the reports this morning.
Looked bad.
How long he'll be out, but it looked bad. So that is never a good thing. But, man, I tell you, defense and being able to dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, that stuff travels. There is no question about it. And as a public service announcement to all your wonderful fans, because I know you have a ton of them.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to let you guys know that I checked. And the Chiefs are still in last place.
Look at you, man. Look at the PSA troll job from Mark Schlereth. All right, let's jump into there. I mean, the Chiefs lose in Brazil, although they had a chance to win it at the end if Chris Jones didn't take the path that he took on 3rd and 14 at Justin Herbert. And then this past week as well, a lack of a connection between Mahomes and Kelce, what they could normally do in their sleep, leads to a quick turnaround in a game that they still had a chance to win. I mean, 0-2 against the Chargers and the Eagles, they might play in the Super Bowl against each other. So how dire do you think things are for the Chiefs, Mark?
No, I don't think they're dire. I think the Chiefs are still a damn good football team. It's just been so long. It's been like a long, you know, dry walk through the desert, especially if you're an AFC West fan of anybody other than the Chiefs. So, it's just good old fashioned sports hate. And I have a lot of it for the Chiefs. I have a ton of respect for them and what they've been able to accomplish. They're going to get players back. Rashee Rice will come back eventually. Like, I love what they did in the draft. The Josh Smith or Josh Simmons kid, he was my favorite player coming out, like my favorite offensive lineman of all the guys I studied. I think he's incredibly gifted. I know he had the patella tendon issue coming out and tore it at Ohio State, but that kid is so freaking talented. He's so good. I don't know when Worthy, what the report on Worthy is, when he'll be back. But, you know, the demise of the Chiefs, I think, is greatly over-exaggerated. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be fine. You know, they will eventually win a game, and at the end of the year, I believe they'll be right back in the thick of things. But it couldn't have started any better for those of us who are a little bit triggered by the Chiefs, and we're a little bit just sick of the Chiefs and their winning ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are beginning to feel that way about the tush push too, coming out of that game where it was a clear false start on the Eagles. At one point, a ball comes loose too. You can't tell. You can't officiate it. Can't replay it. You know, your colleague and my former colleague at the NFL network in the NFL, and Dean Blandino, says, I'm over it. I mean, I feel like I ask you every time you come on, where do you stand on this issue now? Any change? What do you got?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's, it is a football play. I know it's hard to officiate. They always look like they're offsides 100% of the time when they run it. There are a lot of things that, people complain about in regards to that. My biggest issue, and the reason I said I would ban it, is not because I don't think it's a football play, and not because I don't want the Philadelphia Eagles to have that advantage. I was part of the league in a time where we'd line up on special teams, PAT field goal, and you'd have a dude that would be, for me, it was in Washington with Mike Tice. I would be standing behind Mike Tice, shoving him through the A-gap between the guard and the center, trying to get elevation and penetration so that he could block he's 6'7", so he could block a PT or a field goal. And eventually the league made that illegal. You can't aid a rusher. So, wait a minute, it's illegal on special teams, but it's not illegal on offense. How is that congruent? And the answer is it's not. And so that's the only thing that really bothers me, is that, what's good for the goose is not good for the gander. You should be able to do that on the other side of the ball then. And if it's illegal on the other side of the ball, then it should be illegal on the offensive side of the ball as well.
Mark Schlereth, a few minutes left with the NFL on Fox analyst right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You have Raiders Commanders this week, correct? Is that your next
game? Yes, that is correct.
Okay, when do you normally Zoom with staffs or quarterbacks? When does that normally happen for you?
I don't Zoom with anybody. I go to practice.
Okay, look at you.
I like to go in the building, and then I go to the team hotel when the team comes in. So okay. Friday, I will be at the Commanders facility, stealing. They've got a big tray of beef jerky out there, so I always load my bag up as I walk back in from practice. They got like drinks and they got things for the players, and you know, I feel like I'm a former player, so once look a Redskin, always a Redskin. So I grab a bunch of jerky and I shove it in my bag, and so I'll be there Friday, and then Saturday morning, bright and early, I will head over to the Raiders team hotel and meet with Chip Kelly and Pete Carroll and Gino and Max.
All right, two things from what you just said. One, you'll know this, I guess new ownership there is upgraded. It used to be just jerky there. Now it's beef jerky. And secondly, I noticed you mentioned a starting quarterback that you're going to visit with the Raiders, but you didn't with the Commanders. And that is because...
Daniels has...
No, man. That would be monumental. There's just no... Yes. I'm listening with all due respect to Marcus Mariota. But monumental.
Right. Monumental. It'll be interesting, too, because the breakdown with those guys was Mariota, the text that, you know, we're on this text thread with the organizations. So it was Mariota or Jaden Daniels, depending on what the situation, what the status is on Friday. So, that's what we've got there. I will say this, you know, we talk about sophomore slumps. We talk about some of those things. I think that Jaden, having watched both games and really broken down both games, you know, from the coach's tape, a lot of errant throws, a lot of throws behind players, a lot of off-target throws so far early in the season. First game, they really did a good job running the football. They had some really – they're very tricky in their run game. A lot of misdirection stuff. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, so good at holding the backside edge because he can run and all those things. Second game against Green Bay, not so much. And you got to tip your cap to the Green Bay Packers. I think ultimately I've watched pretty much every play of every game so far this year, Rich. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Green Bay Packers on tape are the best team in the National Football League that I've seen through the first 2 weeks.
Well, I guess the Lions and Commanders would agree with you, right? And we just had Jordan Love in hour number one. And you saw what the Lions did when they weren't playing Green Bay. Again, I understand week one is different from week two. Road is clearly different from home. And, you know, there was that extra juice in the building because of the narrative that the Lions aren't going to be the same because Ben Johnson is gone and Ben Johnson was there. And thus a 50 burger was served up. I understand all that. But I guess if Jaden Daniels is as healthy as they hope he can be to take on the Raiders, we'll see what the Commanders look like when not taking on the Packers. And then there's a Raiders team last night that the Chargers kind of toyed around with on defense. So I guess that's my way of transitioning to what you saw from the Raiders on Monday night going into this game on a short week on the road, early window, too. That's not easy for a West Coast team to do.
Mark. Yeah, for sure. I thought in week one, I thought the Raiders against New England played really well. I thought play action wise, Geno was really sharp. He did throw one interception in that particular game, but I thought he was really sharp. I am just waiting for Ashton Jeanty, and you know, like my Kansas City Chiefs take, he played for Boise State, which makes me want to vomit. But the kid is unbelievable. He is a breakout run ready, just waiting to happen. He's going to have one of those 60 yarders. I mean, this kid is dynamic. He is special. I just thought discipline wise. Now they, you know, the Raiders turned it over. Geno threw three picks. Second half, you know, it wasn't very good, but I thought their week one performance was pretty good. And I thought they had fixed a lot of things that weren't very good from last year. I thought their offensive line, their scheme was better. I thought they protected better. And defensively, they're playing with unbelievable effort. And that was really, that for me has been really cool to watch them. Like Max Crosby, one of my notes was Max Crosby will ruin a game without compiling one statistic. He is one of those guys that he may not have a tackle, he may not have a sack, he may not have a pressure, and he'll completely ruin your game. It is unreal to watch the guy play, the effort with which he gives and the understanding when he sees certain formations. You can tell that on tape, you can tell that he just knows what they're running. It's like, oh, I'm in their playbook. And he's a lot of fun to watch, a lot of fun to talk to. And his style of play, I think, is infectious for that whole Raiders organization. So they're a much improved, last night notwithstanding, I believe they're a much improved football team.
And then lastly for you, Mark, you said you've seen pretty much every snap of every game so far through the first 2 weeks. That's, you know, we could do the math for you. That's 32 games. So you mentioned that the Packers are the best team that you've seen so far. What about the AFC? We can talk Bills. You could talk about the Chargers. Obviously, yeah, you've got yourself the Colts at 2-0 as well. You've got, yeah, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals at 2-0, but without Burrow now. I mean, who's the best team in the AFC that you've seen? Mark, could be the Ravens too. What do you got?
Yeah, the Ravens, obviously, what the Bills have done. You know, the Bills are really good because they're so balanced on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, they gave up a 40 points to Baltimore, but Baltimore will do that to a lot of people because their scheme is so hard to defend. I love what the Chargers are doing because they're winning both lines of scrimmage. They're just beating people up. So I think they're a really good football team as well. And so they've been, you know, they've been fun for me to watch. I'm telling you, the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm not going to call them the best team, but maybe one of the coolest stories, because what Daniel Jones did to a Broncos defense that we all assumed was going to be the best defense in the National Football League, what they did, Shane Steichen, from a game planning standpoint, you know, running the boot keep game, running the quick game, running the, if they're going to drop back and take a seven stepper, it's going to be off a play pass with a two-man route. The way they ran, they attacked the C gaps. They attacked smaller defensive edge players in that game. And they just set plays up and they attacked coverages and they attacked players in open spaces. And I just thought it was an incredible game plan. I thought it was an incredible execution. I thought their offensive line, when they had one-on-ones, they won all their one-on-ones. So I just thought from a physical standpoint, and then Danny Jones, Danny Dimes, who, let's face it, you know, it was a disappointment in New York and really never kind of achieved what they thought he could achieve. Danny Dimes is playing as good as anybody in the league right now. So it's a really tip of the cap to Steichen, the Colts, and to Danny Dimes, who continues, you know, I mean, like, we kind of wrote him off and didn't think he was going to be worth a crap. And through two games, man, the guy has played his butt off.
Yeah, we're calling him Danny Diamonds if he keeps playing that way.
Danny Mark, Diamonds, there you go. Or Indiana Dimes. Jones.
Yeah, Danny Dimes, or it's not valuable enough the way he's playing.
Yeah.
Mark, thanks for the time. Love chatting with you, man. Always.
Absolutely, Rich. Take care, brother.
Enjoy the beef jerky, sir.
I will.
Words I've never said to another man, but I think it worked. Mark Schlereth right here. Check him out on Fox. Raiders, Commanders, Raiders. Early window on Fox. 844-204-RICH. Let's take a break. Phone calls and overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, "We've got your back. We've got your car ready to go back on the road." It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location while supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Back here on ESPN Radio, it's presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect the stuff you love with renter's insurance. Visit progressive.com. Let's go here. Ryan in Erie, Pennsylvania wants to chime in with the subject matter.
Erie.
What's up?
The wonders.
Ryan?
Hey, Rich.
What's up? You there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
Okay, you're on the air, sir. What's up?
Hey, genuine question I have for you. Why is it that you and other people across this network and other networks feel like Mike Tomlin's a good coach? Because after, you know, last 15 years, three playoff wins, two of which were against backups, and that would be Alex Smith, Matt Moore, and I think AJ McCarron.
Okay, so you're pushing back on my belief that Mike Tomlin's a good coach, which, by the way, every single time I ever call into Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio, it's on like Donkey Kong, you know, so...
He's in Erie.
All right, that makes sense. So, listen, man, all I know is talking to his players, they love him, and I understand that you are 100% upset about the lack of playoff wins, because that's what it's about in Pittsburgh, and he knows it too. And well, they put their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. Let's see what happens. But all I will tell you is that if the Steelers ever move on from him, he will be hired within 5 minutes, and other teams might fire their coaches to hire him. And you think I'm nuts, you know, and we'll find out whoever the Steelers go ahead and replace him with. But I don't think that's going to happen, Ryan. That's the truth. And I know that answer pisses off. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I don't know if he's listening to something else there or whatever, but I know that pisses off Steelers fans significantly. Pisses them off. And the pushback is, look at Sean McVay. Look at Kyle Shanahan. Look at the coaching trees that come out of that, right? Mm-hmm. Bruce Arians, another coach. I just saw him on the screen. He's on Pat's show right now. You know what I mean? Like, Where's the coaching tree? Who's his coaching tree?
Yeah.
And that's always a pushback involving him as well. I just don't know. They put the eggs in the Rodgers basket. Week one looked amazing. Week two most certainly did not. And, you know, we'll talk about what Rodgers looked like with Kurt Warner tomorrow before I chime in. I'm not an all 22 guy. But Kurt's on our Wednesday show to talk about exactly this sort of stuff. They're at New England this week. That's going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
And then, because they're taking on the Minnesota Vikings and what could be Carson Wentz. We'll talk about that later on in Ireland. So, Pittsburgh, I think, should make the playoffs this year. And I would love for them to make the playoffs because I'd love to see Aaron Rodgers in another win or go home game. And we'll see what happens then.
Yep.
Listen, the whole Tomlin stuff, I believe in him, I love him. All of us in the media do love him because he's incredible when you meet with him. You want to run through a brick wall. You really do. And you could say, well, you've been shined, Rich. This guy is, you know, this, that, the other thing. And I understand why Steelers fans are sick of it. They're like, just at this point in time, let's change it up. Be careful what you wish for is all I'm going to say.
Andy Reid got fired from Philadelphia and it worked out just fine.
That's right. But Philadelphia also found somebody pretty darn good, too. You know, Peterson won one and Sirianni's won one. So that might be the pushback from the Steelers fans. I understand. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It's a Tuesday, which means it's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
It's been a while since I stepped on that drop, by the way. I've been really disciplined.
Yeah.
Really disciplined.
Don't hurt yourself.
Pat myself on the back.
Whoa.
Hey, everybody. Everybody good?
Hey, what's up, Chris?
TJ, what's up, man?
How you doing, kid?
Del Tufo.
I'm not doing well. I hurt myself, patting myself on the back.
Yeah. You and Khalil Mack with that elbow.
No, I mean, my God. Have you ever seen somebody's elbow bend that way?
Not great.
And then he's just like, yeah, I think I need to go to the blue tent right now.
Don't look at the video.
I might start crying if that ever happened.
I was in the middle of recording our podcast when that happened, and I just, Shane was like, what are you screaming about? I was just like, oh, Khalil Mack.
Yeah, don't look at that. All right, what else you got over there, Chris?
Khalil Mack's team, the Chargers, they are good. In fact, they're the second best team in the AFC.
You can make the case they're the best team in the AFC. So I'll clearly, that would be my only pushback.
Wow. You're going all the way best.
I saw them with my own two eyes in a different hemisphere on a Friday night.
They got the offense to keep up with those other two teams that I'm not saying, but inferring.
Excuse me. Do you see what Justin Herbert looks like right now? They're not even running the ball well. Omarion Hampton hasn't really started running yet. They have not run the ball well. They're throwing it. And yeah, they've got the offense to keep up with it 100%, but they also have the defense to make it basically ask Justin Herbert for two scores. Give me two scores. Let Dick or the kicker give me a couple of field goals and we got this. And we'll talk about that more later on in this program. So you can make the case the Chargers are the best team in the AFC. They're one of four 2-0 teams. One of them is starting their backup quarterback in the Bengals. Another one is starting, you know, Daniel Dimes / Danny Diamonds. We will see how they matriculate from 2-0, and we have Jonathan Taylor on Wednesday's show.
Nice.
And the Bills are the 2-0 team that we haven't mentioned yet. So the Chargers taking on the Bills, I don't think they do this year. How about that? That would be a great playoff game. The question is, where would it take place? Or it could be a horrible at the end of the day for the right to play in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And I think CBS is currently lighting a candle for that being a possibility. Mm-hmm. So I'll buy this.
You like it?
The only reason why I would push back is I think second best might be too low. Christopher.
Fun. I wrote this not knowing how we would start the program today, but I think you're going to agree with this one too. Baker Mayfield is the most fun quarterback to watch in the NFL right now.
No, I mean, come on now.
Name a more fun quarterback to watch.
I could name Lamar.
Josh.
I could name Josh Allen, right? Jaden Daniels when healthy. Matthew Stafford when he's no looking. Danny Diamonds when he's killing it. But nobody combines the W's with the F's quite like this guy. You know? Nobody does quite the W plus GTFOH quite like Baker Mayfield. And he is, I'm not going to say this is an overreaction as well. I thought you would say that he's going to be in the top three of MVP voting. I thought you'd really start penning me in here.
Let's hold on a second.
What do you mean?
Let's just relax.
Meaning what? Like, do you have that written down?
But let's just pump the MVP brakes for Baker.
The fact that you're even saying that during an Overreaction Monday segment when you normally remove all filters. Okay. So I'll agree with this. We're 2-for-2. What else?
Let's go 3-for-3.
Okay.
I like it when coaches petty. We love the petty. We love the petty,
the petty scale.
I also secretly like running up the score, which is what the Lions did on Sunday. The Lions are who we thought they were heading into the season. Legit Super Bowl contenders.
Christopher, I mean, you're now spinning one in the zone for me to take out.
Well, they looked terrible in week one.
Yeah, but who chose the Lions to win the NFC in this
studio?
Yeah,
but you were already thinking about a mulligan.
I was already hoping for Thanksgiving to come by fast, but then I see 50 points, and I'm like, that's the team that I thought could win the NFC. Now, we'll see what happens when they go on the road again. And that was what, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, was that Albert Breer who came on Monday's show saying he spoke to Jahmyr Gibbs, and Gibbs said the week one issue was communication. that they had a problem communicating with one another, with a new OC on the road in Lambeau Field. Yeah, things are going fast.
Couldn't communicate where number one was on the field.
Well, the Lions, we next see them on a Monday nighter in Baltimore. So we'll see what happens when rubber meets road here. But so far, so good. And I'll agree with this. We're 3 for 3. What else you got over there?
All right, let's see if we can't buck this trend. Thinking about the Bengals, right? They're 2-0, sure. But Joe Burrow has been hurt a lot in his career so far. And mostly it's because of the offensive line. And I'm thinking back to the 2021 draft. And they probably should have just taken Penei Sewell in the first round. You know what I mean? Because if you look who went later on in that draft at wide receiver, they could have had Nico Collins in the second round and Amon-Ra St. Brown in the third round. That would have worked out just fine. And you would have had a Hall of Fame left tackle to protect Joe Burrow.
Talk about going overreaction with 2020 goggles here, man.
That was the argument.
That was the debate on draft day.
Yeah. Remember
what they should do.
That was a meme, right?
Yeah, it was Burrow with a couple stick figures, and one was him throwing a deep pass with Ja'Marr Chase open, and one was him being protected.
The one was Chase is drafted and Burrow's on his behind.
Okay.
And you know, where Chase is open, but Burrow's on his behind. And then there's one where Burrow's completing a pass because Sewell was in front of him.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But to who knows who. Or it could have been Higgins at the time. Didn't they already have Higgins?
It was Chase. Okay. Yeah. It was option A.
I mean,
he's upright and protected and not wearing casts.
Would that really make the difference?
That's not going to stop your toe.
Four other guys would be the ones to sack.
Yeah. That's not going to stop that toe injury.
I'll just push back and call this an outstanding overreaction, but one that makes I could see your path to the basket here, to mix metaphors again.
Nico Collins and Amon-Ra went.
Boy, it's later tough on to basically say you should pass on Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
So Ja'Marr Chase would be the one catching passes from Goff now? Is that where that's the sliding door here?
Wherever. I mean, he probably would have went in the first round. Let's see. Ja'Marr Chase.
I'll just push back. What else you got over there?
Ja'Marr Chase probably would have went to Miami, where he also would have won nothing.
What else you got over there, Chris? Saying. Okay.
All right. Good there work. Are, let's see. There are what, 9, 10, 2-0 teams. At least three of them are going to miss the playoffs.
So you're saying San Francisco, Arizona, Cincinnati.
Bing, bang, boom.
Those are the three?
Look at you, Rich Eisen. You've done this before.
I'm looking at 2-0, and I'm sure the Eagles aren't that, or the Bucs aren't that. Correct?
Correct.
That's what, you know. Remarkably, nobody in the NFC North is 2-0 other than Green Bay, who've already taken to go to the Super Bowl.
Win it.
So you're not including them.
I am not.
Three. I'll call that an overreaction.
Colts? Yeah, are we believers yet?
No, I understand. But so how many undefeated teams are there? There's 9, right?
There's 10. There's 4 in the AFC, okay. And there's 6 10. In the
so
NFC.
You're saying 7 will make it.
7 are in.
Which is just kind of what 2-0 teams, 77% of the teams make it. So
I'm adding an extra one.
No, I know you are, which is why you've set the line appropriately, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll take the under, though.
Maybe even 4.
Ooh. I'll take the under. I'm rounding up and saying that 8 will make it of the 2-0 teams. We'll see what it is. Put a pin in it. You got one more over there, Chris?
Last one. I'm thinking about what we talk about the best.
You think
division.
We need one more? We'll get one more.
There you go.
Jeez,
you
got one more. Can't believe it. The AFC West is only getting 2 playoff teams.
That's an overreaction right now. I'll still call it an overreaction. Yeah, I'll call that an overreaction.
0-2 is only at 15%.
No, I got it. I understand it. That would mean
the Raiders don't look good.
No, because the AFC East is not getting 2, and the AFC South might not get 2, right? Which means 3 from the West would leave only 1 from the North or 2 from the North. So I just named it. There you go. 3 from the West, 2 from the North, and still only 1 from the South, 1 from the East. Totally possible right now. I'll push back on this, calling an overreaction. Good stuff, Christopher. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Well, we'll talk about the Chargers when we come back. Oh, yeah. And we've got the latest Harbaugh file, which is an excellent Jim soundbite postgame on Monday night from Las Vegas. And then we'll talk about the Raiders, top of hour 3, before Adam Devine strolls in here.
The
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from I know the way to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy, perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes, so you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. I saw the Los Angeles Chargers with my own two eyes in Brazil, and this is a team that led the league in scoring defense last year, and now they have an offense to support it with a lot more points. And I know last night they didn't put up more than 20. I get it. They don't need to. Not to go all Brian Kelly on you, but you play the game to win the game. Which is, again, more for bros. You know, I mean, Herm was a little bit more economical in his words.
Right. Herm was ahead of his time.
But that's why Jim kicked a field goal to go up 20-6 on the 1 yard line. Because I got a team that's going to be in Geno's grill all night and create the issues for the Raiders on offense that will get us the ball back. And I got Justin Herbert throwing it around. I mean, you listen, this guy's unlocked.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this because I know he came into this year with the most passing yards of anybody in the first 5 years of their career. And he had 4,000 yards in his rookie season, or his first year there, 5,000 yards and 4,000 yards, and hasn't thrown for 4,000 yards since in 2 years. And now here's his extension. Yep. Starts right now. This is the year his extension kicks in, where he's costs a lot more. And Jim has got this guy unlocked in a way where he's better than the years when he was throwing for 4,000 yards and 5,000 yards. And I don't know what his final number is going to be this year, but if Quentin Johnston is going to squeeze it rather than drop it,
yep.
And Keenan Allen is back now.
Dude, Keenan Allen looks rejuvenated.
And LaDidi Mekongke.
LaDidi.
I looked at the Texans' 20-point loss to the Texans, the Chargers' 20-point loss to the Texans in last year's playoffs. He had LaDidi, who, by the way, set the record for most passing yards, receiving yards in a game, in a playoff game, by a rookie with 197.
LaDidi Mekongke.
But the other guys he was targeting were Will Disley, Tucker Fisk, DJ Chark, Darius Davis, who's still on the team. Quentin Johnston got 5 targets, 0 catches. That wouldn't happen this year, the way I'm seeing the first 2 weeks. And the running back room, with all due respect to J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, Omarion Hampton and Najee Harris haven't been unlocked yet either. And they're 2-0, and they are killing people on defense. The defensive staff that I was speaking to, they weren't talking about Khalil Mack. Of course they talk about Derwin James because he's all world. But this Dion Henley, that's who they were talking about. Number 0 on your program.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Is he everywhere in Brazil? And last night he was questionable due to an illness. If he's sick, he plays like Jordan when he's sick. Okay. He became the first Chargers player to record 10 or more tackles, 1 or more sacks, and 1 or more interceptions in a game since Rodney Harrison in 2000. So if he's playing like Rodney Harrison, and Derwin James isn't the guy playing like Rodney Harrison, and they have a pass rush, and they've got corners that are going to hit you.
They win the West?
Right now, Mike, they're
going to Super Bowl.
2.5 up on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They're 1.5 up on the Raiders, including a win in Vegas. And next week, they've got the Broncos in their house for their season opener at home, and they could be up on the Broncos plus as well by 2.5 games. And if the Raiders lose to the Commanders while the Chargers beat the Broncos and the Chiefs, even if they win, they'd be up 2.5 on everybody in their division.
Yeah.
But that defense, man. Jim Harbaugh was going on and on and on about it to the point it is this edition of the Harbaugh Files.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
Great road win, division game, real blue-collar game. I thought the special teams played winning football, offense played winning football, and the defense, guardians of victory today. I mean, they had our back, our front, our side. And it was just a tremendous defensive performance. The turnovers, three interceptions, the fourth down stops, Derwin, Dan Henley. I mean, true, you know, playing with a fever. And, you know, Deshaun Hand, T.R. Tart, D-Jack. Tarheeb Still. I mean, every single name you could go through. Tony Jefferson. Just incredible. Defense was – thank goodness for defense. They were the guardians of victory today.
The Harbaugh Files.
I might have to rename my fantasy team.
Guardians of victory.
Hell yeah.
I got a fever. Hell yeah. The only prescription is more Harbaugh. More Harbaugh.
It's got a fever.
Guardians of victory.
Now they're going to show it with cowbells now? Hey, man.
Need more cowbell.
I know you were saying, again, Chris, an overreaction Monday. Are they the second best team in the AFC? And you're giving the tip of the cap respectfully to the Bills. I understand what you're doing. But first things first, the Bills look they've already wrapped up the AFC East. And out of respect to everybody else in division, because it's loaded in the AFC West, you can't say that. But the Chargers can take a very firm early season grip on their division if they can beat the Broncos at home on Sunday. And they are playing lights out, and Justin Herbert is playing like an MVP quarterback. He is unlocked, and their weapons around him are so much better. And now they're able to lose an all-world, all-pro left tackle where they make the most rich player at the position in the NFL and tell Joe Alt, you go there, and Herbert is unmarked because of Alt's protection. Unreal.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.